Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Percussion Pedagogy Podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Dobbs, and I'm so excited for the release of this second series, Audio and Video Recording Technology, The Gear You Need. This series is a companion to the previous one and is specifically geared towards directors, professors, and performers. From each episode, we have created a handout with links to various audio and video recording gear to either get you started or to add to your collection. I understand full well that recording, streaming, and editing can be difficult and seem like a huge learning curve. So it's my hope that from these interviews and the handouts, we shed some light on this topic and make it a little easier to digest. I'm always here if you have any questions or concerns, just reach out. And I know that the people I've interviewed would love to talk with you. That's why I selected these people and created this podcast. It's a place where we can share knowledge and all grow together. It's now time to introduce our first guest, Mr. Kyle Ratajczyk from Sweetwater Sound. Sweetwater Sound is the largest online retailer of pro audio gear, and to be honest, they have the best customer service team on the planet. I have been working with them exclusively since 2011, and I literally have zero complaints. Anytime I have a question, I always can reach someone, and they set you up with a sales representative that gets to know you, your career, and the gear you actually need to get your projects done. They are awesome, and any of my friends that work with them would say the same. Anyway, our first guest is my personal sales representative from Sweetwater, Kyle Ratajczyk. I have been working with him for about 3 years now, and he's extremely knowledgeable and clear with his descriptions, as you'll see in this episode. If you have ever been on the fence about using audio and video gear, or if you've been doing this for a long time, Kyle's ideas are direct, won't break the bank unless you want them to, and most importantly, his outlook makes sense. Please make sure to check out the list that I've linked in the description. Kyle created that personally for everyone. And make sure to reach out to him or anyone at Sweetwater if you're interested in incorporating this technology in your classroom or personal life. I hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you, Kyle, for giving up your time to talk with me. It's now time for me to be quiet and let this professional do the talking.
The deal at my house growing up is if you wanted to play t-ball, if you wanted to play Little League, whatever else you wanted to do outside of school, you know, the agreement was you also had to play an instrument.
That's awesome.
And so fortunate to have parents that put an emphasis on the arts and on extracurriculars that were willing to put in the time and certainly the money into those things. So by the time I was in seventh grade, I played piano, violin, viola, trombone. And by the time I was in high school, I had probably just started picking up guitar.
Wow.
And never took any formal lessons on that, but the other instruments. So very formally trained, very classically trained background. Technically speaking, I suppose my area of interest and my real area of expertise, I hesitate to call it that, is recording. Mm. The technical side, the more equipment-based side. And I got into that because growing up in kind of the early and mid-90s, you know, finally personal computers became affordable and small enough that everyone had one.
Yeah.
And kind of the birth of, you know, what we now know as the internet, which at that time was dial-up AOL.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we knew.
Yeah.
And getting into computers. And so, you know, you have computers kind of coming, you know, into what we know them as now, and a background in music. And of course, you know, me and my buddies in high school, we had a little garage band, and I was always the guy that was like, we need to record. Okay, how can we do this based on, you know, the limited technology and our limited finances and everything. So I went through college. I really didn't do any music in college. But after I got out of college, I went back to school and got a second degree in audio engineering, which brought me to Guitar Center, which is where I worked for several years in their Pro Audio department in Milwaukee. So anybody who shops at that store in the Milwaukee area, hi.
That's awesome.
And from Guitar Center to Sweetwater, where I've been, as of January, I'll have been here 3 years.
If we're talking about band directors and orchestral directors specifically, like at the junior high and senior high level, at least around here, they're always getting ready for contests. They're listening back to recordings of the rehearsals. And specifically now with the pandemic, they're trying to stream sectionals and like, or, you know, performance videos for the kids. Could you go through a little bit and talk about what they would need maybe audio wise and video wise to kind of, you know, give the kids the best option they can get?
You have all the tools you need right now. You have it in your pocket. It's this thing, right? Yeah. And the only reason that you would go beyond that is if there is some limitation, there is some problem, some logistics issue, some quality issue that you're trying to solve. And I always tell people, and I'm sure I've told you, where if you're doing your virtual lessons, if you're doing your streaming, and you don't recognize an issue, there isn't something that's jumping out at you that's really bothering you about it, either as far as the video goes or just as far as the logistics go. I am very familiar with, you know, the importance of technique. You know, you imagine, you know, how much posture and how much, you know, positioning and how much of that plays a part in, you know, ultimately how your performance sounds.
Yeah.
And so, okay, yeah, at a certain point in time, if I'm trying to do a drum lesson, it's going to be very important, not only that they can hear, but also, you know, visually be able to see the technique. Mm-hmm. And if you imagine, okay, well, how do I get my phone as an overhead camera? How does that affect the sound quality? Okay, that's what I, you know, when I talk about a logistics issue, that's more of a logistics issue. It's not necessarily a quality issue.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So, okay, at that point, all right, then at that point, you're looking at, okay, maybe the solution there is a separate system. One system is your camera and a separate audio system so that I can have my camera in one place, but my audio in another place.
You're saying like at a basic level, maybe don't try to overdo things. Just try what you have, you know, the free options, even though, you know, that phone is $1,000. It's like, right. go that option first. And then if it's a logistic problem, then kind of dive in.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so, absolutely.
So let's say you have marimba. You have snare drum, and then you have drum set. So what do you think would be the easiest solution if you wanted to spend a little bit of money?
Are we talking all of those things playing at the same time, or are we talking about we're going to move from one to the...
One to the other.
Well, then at that point, I think just to solve the, you know, the logistics situation of, could you do that with your camera or your phone? Sure. How are your results going to be? Is it going to be a little bit tricky visually, camera, what you're trying to demonstrate? Yeah. And that would be a prime example of, okay, well, then how do we separate this? How do we separate, you know, the video onto one piece of equipment, the audio onto another piece? Okay, one solution that might be something as simple as, okay, we have a GoPro camera on a stand, which is lightweight, it's portable, the video quality is excellent.
Oh yeah.
And we have something as simple as like a Shure 57 or a 58, you know, not a special microphone, a very common microphone on a second stand. And then the question becomes, okay, how do we integrate those things? And that's where you can go down this rabbit hole. And I think where, you know, there's a little bit steeper learning curve because there are so many options. You know, if you're going to use an app like this on Zoom to do it, okay, and the, okay, so now we have to say, okay, so at the end of the day, all of this, the audio, the video has to end up in Zoom. How do we get it into Zoom?
Yeah.
You step back and, okay, Zoom on the phone. Well, if Zoom's on the phone, then what we're looking for is some way to get the audio and the video into the phone. Well, and that will take you down one path. There are certainly, you know, audio interfaces, equipment that will let you get the audio into a phone versus into a laptop. And they are pretty specific. You know, typically an audio interface that's meant for an iPad or an iPhone or an Android device is really meant for that type of device. You know, mm-hmm. It's not going to be cross-compatible with a laptop computer.
Got you.
Now, there are a few that'll be cross-compatible that way. And so you kind of have to think ahead and say, well, sometimes I'm using my phone, but sometimes I'm using my computer. Mm. Well, okay, there you go. You know exactly what you're looking for. You're looking for an audio interface that's cross-compatible. There's maybe only a handful of them. And at that point, you're really only choosing between, okay, does it have one input or does it have four inputs?
Yeah, and I think you listed a couple of those, like specifically, like with one microphone and two microphones for iOS and Android.
Exactly. And with the full band, you know, I just put myself in the position of my high school jazz band director. He's okay. Standing, you know, he's conducting the group, and his position drastically affects his perception of, are the saxophones too loud? Are they not loud enough? Mm-hmm. What's going on with the bass guitar? And it's totally perceptual based on the arrangement, the physical location of each section or each instrument. So at that point, you know, the real purist will say you should use one mic in the conductor's position, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's going to give you the truest representation of what the entire ensemble sounds like.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, the alternative to that would be, I want more, you know, I'm speaking as the conductor or the instructor. I want the ability to have more isolation when it comes to these individual sections. Okay, I want one microphone for each section. One microphone for the drums, one microphone for trumpets, one for trombones. Okay, those all feed in. So now that we know we're looking for, we're still looking for an audio interface, all of this stuff has to get into, you know, our computer or our iPad, our phone for streaming or recording purposes. Now we know that we're looking for a 4-channel, an 8-channel, however many microphones we need to feed this thing.
Sure.
Right. Now we kind of know what box. And that's how they do it in a recording studio, right? I mean, you could go beyond that. You could say, let's give every single individual in that group their own mic. And that would be, you know, like a real true recording type of setup where we're giving individual mics to every performer so that on the back end, we can control the balance of, you know, even the first through fourth trumpet.
Yeah.
If you want that kind of finite control, you can certainly do it.
Basically, if a director is listening to this, like, I have no idea about audio and video recording technology. The questions you're asking are, what do you want? Like, are you wanting a free option would be the phone, and you can try that out until the limitations, you know, or until problems come up. Or are you going to go, I want that kind of clarity that I hear in the recordings that I'm listening to, reference recordings, so I'm going to mic everybody. And then basically from there, just say, okay, if I'm going to do that, I'll go through this list and I'll find a 4-channel, 8-channel interface. And I know I'll need a laptop or a desktop, and I'll need a high definition webcam, like that sort of stuff. Okay, that's way easier, I think, than the way I even learned it. It was like, you gotta get mics, figure it out, I'll see in an hour. You know, like that sort of thing.
That's how I learned it.
What would you recommend for, let's say, a soloist or a quartet, like percussion group, to get those high-end recordings that you would see like on a Vic Firth website and kind of thing?
Sure. Well, I would say that part of that is your equipment, certainly. But the other part of it that I am very quick to remind people of is what you, and I was just having this conversation with a concert harp player the other day, which is, as you can imagine, like the logistics of recording that in your own apartment or whatever can be difficult.
Yeah.
But that's what she's wanting to do is she's wanting to get an industry, a label quality recording. Okay. And the equipment is probably, I would argue, is less than 50%.
Oh, okay.
I would say a majority of that what we call professional sound comes from something as simple as the positioning of your microphone. That'll have a drastic impact on the sound. You can imagine, I mean, what does a drum set sound like, you know, through a wall? You know, if you're hearing someone play drums in the next room, versus, you know, right there in the room, it's the same type of thing. The distance and everything in between your ears and the performance definitely affects what you're hearing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So And then the second part, I would say the majority of that really comes down to what can seem like a very complicated technical process, which is when you hear someone say, I work in mixing, I work in mastering. That's that process of taking the raw recording and using equalizers, using compressors, using limiters, you know, stereo spread devices. Hmm. These are the things that give a record that quote unquote professional sound. And, you know, it's something that in the case of this particular performer that I was talking to, what she resolved to do was she was going to get the best raw recordings that she could, and she was going to pass this along to her record label. And the record label was going to hand that off to their in-house mixing and mastering people for final processing.
Got you.
So that's kind of the roundabout way of saying, okay, so keep that in mind. Keep in mind that, yes, you can buy a $15,000 microphone and a $10,000 audio interface, and even then, your recordings, when you listen to them, will not sound like a professional recording. It'll sound good, but it hasn't gone through that final processing. If you're looking at just the microphones alone, I think you're not looking at a $100 microphone. You're not really looking at a $300 microphone. You know, I would argue that the professional quality microphones really start in that $1,200 plus range.
Gotcha.
And then for percussion, it becomes even more cumbersome, unfortunately, because if you have any experience recording a percussion instrument, you know, even if it's something simple like two congas or two bongos, you know, we're still going to use two mics so that I have individual control on the back end of, you know, the larger versus the smaller, left versus right. So I'd say, and then from there, you're looking at, you know, the microphones are giving you a great audio quality, excellent, high quality microphone. Okay, we still have to get that into our recording device, our computer, our phone, whatever we're going to use. And so we want to make sure that we preserve that quality from the microphones as it gets converted over to digital.
Gotcha.
And that's exactly what that audio interface device is doing. And just like microphones, there are, you know, $100 audio interfaces where they're still way better than what was being done in 1950 on tape.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You can get really good recordings off of those. But, you know, I think if you're trying to do a professional and industry recording, you're looking at something in that $1,000 plus range, depending on number of inputs.
Do you think it's worth it for them to invest in the software to do the mastering or maybe pay for some lessons to do that stuff? Or do you think it's better to like invest in the microphones and placement of them and then pay someone else to do that?
I think you could argue it either way. I wouldn't discourage anybody from getting into that. I think what it comes down to is this issue of time. And you say, you know, I'm a working musician. I'm a working educator. I want to make a professional sounding record. I only have so many free hours in the day to do this. Mm. Part of that is going to be taken up by practicing, the rest of my social life, family life, my 9-to-5 job, if I have one, if I'm a professional musician, then certainly more practicing and performances. And what amount of time is it going to take me to get proficient enough with the mixing mastering process to the point where I can do it myself and don't need to pay someone to get those results? Mm. It's not a 2-day class. It's not a 2-year class. It's one of those things where absolutely, because once you learn that process, you have total freedom. You have absolute freedom. You can make, you know, industry, professional quality, label, release ready records on your own. You don't have to hand it off to anybody. You don't have to pay anything out of pocket. You're not, you know, at the mercy of what someone else thinks sounds good. Mm. But there is a huge investment of time and trial and error to learn it.
A director is wanting to come in, or a student or a professional player, and they have a list of the things that you talked about and they're kind of listening through. What are some things you could tell them to be aware of? Like just say, hey, just so you know, this, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. I suppose the biggest thing is we are still pushing these platforms, Zoom, GoToMeeting, Skype, iVideo, whatever. We're pushing that technology beyond what it's really built to do.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, a platform like Zoom, what was it built for? It was really built for this, so that two people on opposite sides of the world could have a business meeting. And the limitation there is twofold. One is, okay, what is the audio quality? And certainly it's not built to be ultra high definition, you know, hi-fi audio quality. So you're looking for, you know, you're kind of fighting an uphill battle for now until these platforms adjust to that, this new kind of world, that was new reality that we're living in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have to think of the end game first, because if you're saying I'm a high school band director, all I want to be able to do because of social distancing regulations and because of, you know, what's going on in the world right now, we can't have a live audience for our performance. All I really want to do is do a stream of a live performance. I'm not trying to do any recording. I'm not trying to do any kind of adjusting on the back end as far as, you know, balancing levels or anything like that. I just want to get the sound from the room out onto the internet for my virtual audience. Okay, well, the simple solution again is, okay, we need some sort of camera device. We need some sort of microphone. From there, how does that sound? How does it look? Okay, well, it doesn't look that great because, you know, the group is too wide because of where we have to put the camera. You know, it just doesn't look the way we want it to look. Or maybe we want, you know, multiple cameras. We want the ability to, you know, do a far shot of the group, but we also want to have a close-up of the conductor or of a side shot of the section. Okay, now that's not necessary, but that's a choice. And that's certainly possible. So in that case, you say, okay, now you're moving away from the phone. You're saying, okay, a multi-camera unit, that could be two GoPros, it could be two DSLRs, a GoPro, it could be any number of things. And maybe still one microphone. And that microphone doesn't sound good. We've moved it around. We just can't find a good spot for it. Okay, well, maybe we need to do two microphones, you know, and with a choir, you know, just the size of a choir, we have to do two microphones because one microphone isn't going to pick up that space.
Sure.
We need two microphones just to cover the area. And so I think you have to look at it from the end point of, what are we ultimately trying to do? What kind of quality are we wanting? And that will very quickly lead you down one path or other in terms of what equipment you need.
But is there anything that you would like to say to people going back into school, into the trenches, like anything at all?
I keep doing the hard work. I mean, the reason that I'm in the position that I'm in to do what I do every day is because of folks like yourselves. If I wouldn't have had, you know, great teachers along the way, people that were very passionate, not only about music in general, but about teaching music and about, you know, what this can bring to somebody's life. I know that it's tough. It's not the way that you'd want to do it, doing it virtually. I know that even before all this started, like we mentioned earlier, you know, the arts budgets are constantly being cut in favor of something else.
Sure.
And it, for the most part, it's somewhat of a thankless job, because if you're teaching younger students, even if you're teaching college students, you're really not seeing what ends up happening 10 years from now after they've moved on. And I think all of us certainly appreciate that. So, you know, keep your heads up, try and keep a positive attitude. Don't let the technology of this overwhelm you. I know that it can get very frustrating, because all of a sudden now, on top of being an instructor, you have to be a recording engineer and a streaming expert.
Yeah.
You know, please feel free to reach out to me. I think you're going to put my contact information down there below. That's the best I can say. We really appreciate you, everybody, you know, at Sweetwater, everybody in my circle that I deal with on a daily basis owes everything to their music instructors. So, you know, from all of us, thank you.
The Percussion Pedagogy Podcast is engineered and edited by me, Tommy Dobbs. The music you hear was created by my good friend Ryan Robinson. Our logo and all graphic design work was created by Janelle Ann. And finally, this podcast is a product of Hen Dex Productions. That means every episode has to be approved by these two lovely Yorkies right here. So, what do you think, fellas?